Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Your hosts for today are Gina McAndrews and I, Susan Franzen, with Paul Wearson joining us just for Veterans Day, and Mike Murphy to keep our voices going out to you. We all welcome our listeners, as well as our first guest, Leanne Harter. Good to have you with us again today, Leanne.
Good morning.
Leanne, it's Paul. I'm here by phone. And it's so good to talk to you. And I miss being with you in the studio for your monthly report. I only regret that I'm marooned in the 20th century and can't Zoom with you. But I am waiting with bated breath, and I know that every time you speak about everything happening in the county, I'm moved to tears by your delivery. So I'm just waiting with bated breath to hear what's new in Story County.
Oh, Paul, you always make me laugh. I wanted to start by saying good morning and welcome, Paul. And thank you to all the veterans and spouses and families. Thank you for your service, your dedication, and then in many cases, the ultimate sacrifice. And with that, offices are closed in observance of Veterans Day for Story County today on Wednesday, November 11th. Normal business hours resume tomorrow, November 12th. If you are needing to do business today, you can look online for information so you're prepared for tomorrow. And our website is www.storycountyiowa.gov. And then along with that, we have a couple offices that are taking appointments in order to do service. Our buildings, most of our buildings did reopen to the public for in-person services on Monday, October 5th. But if you have some business with the recorder or the treasurer and you want to do that in person, you do need to schedule an appointment. There's, if you go to that website, again, www.storycountyiowa.gov, you'll see a red button or a red box that says schedule an appointment. The treasurer's office is open by appointment every day from 9 a.m. to 4:15. Those are the appointment slots. They are processing transactions through phone, email, and through phone and other and email if people do not feel safe coming into the office. So again, our website, and there's a red box that says schedule an appointment to meet with the treasurer and recorder. And then I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of getting ready for 2020 to be over. So I am looking forward to January 1st, 2021, and the Story County Conservation Winter Marathon. It's a complete marathon, 26 miles between January 1st and March 1st. This is being put on by Story County Conservation. They challenge you to complete that full marathon by walking, running, skiing, snowshoeing, or maybe even biking if the weather allows. 26 miles outdoors at your own pace when it works for you and for your family. You can play outside for 30 minutes too. That equals 1 mile. So daily or whenever you do the activity, you record your mileage on the mileage log. It's available at McFarland Park, or you can download it. That information is on our website. And if you turn in your completed log, you can win a discount on Story County Conservation online registrations or rentals. And you can just start 2021 knowing that you have a great accomplishment in books. Then another great way to end 2020 and begin 2021 is think about adopting a cat from the Story County Animal Shelter. Right now, their adoption rates for cats is $10. They have so many cuties. If you go online or to their Facebook page for the Story County Animal Shelter, you see a lot of their pictures. You can message them for information and complete an adoption application. Share that information with your friends, too. They do need help, however. The shelter appreciates everyone who helps care for the animals. This fall has been really overwhelming with kittens, and now there are some big dogs that they had to find to feed along with the snuggly cats they have. They would love and be grateful for any help they could get. They have an Amazon wish link that we can make available. It's also on their Facebook page. They also take monetary donations. So anything that is able to be helpful. Anything you think would be helpful for Story County Animal Shelter, call 515-382-3338. And the animals thank you, as do all the human animals working out there. I do have announcements from Central Iowa Community Services, it's otherwise known as CICS. That is the Mental Health and Disability Services Region covering Boone, Franklin, Greene, Hamilton, Hardin, Jasper, Addison, Marshall, Poweshiek, Story, and Warren counties. It supports individuals and strengthens communities by serving unique needs of individuals with mental health and intellectual and other developmental disabilities. CICS has yard signs available and banners with the Your Life Iowa and CICS mobile response information. Any resident or business in the CICS region, so all those counties I mentioned, including Story County, can get one. You call 515-663-2930 for more information. If you feel the need or the calling to help get information out there for those emergency hotlines, that's a great way to visually show your support. And also recently, CICS received additional CARES Act dollars to support individuals, providers, and school districts in the region. So there's information for that as well by calling that phone number. I have a couple changes to the regulations that are scheduled to go before the Board of Supervisors that I want to mention quickly. First of all is next Wednesday, November 18th. It's hard to believe it's already the middle of November. They're taking consideration of the proposed septic ordinance changes. Again, it's Wednesday, November 16th at 6:30 p.m. It's a public hearing for first consideration of ordinance number 287, which is called the Private Sewage Disposal Systems Ordinance. Public access to the meeting is provided via electronic means only. If you go to www.storycountyiowa.gov/septic, you can find information how to join the Zoom, submit comments, or even view the draft ordinance. You can also call 515-382-7240 with questions. Written comments are to be sent to Story County Environmental Health at 900 6th Street, Nevada, Iowa, 50201, or online there is a comment form that you can submit. Written comments are asked to be submitted no later than Tuesday, November 17th at 5 o'clock p.m. Last, I do want to mention the floodplain ordinance. FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, every so years redraws the floodplain maps. We are in that time frame at this point. There's an upcoming public hearing of the Story County Board of Supervisors to revise those floodplain maps. They're known as flood insurance rate maps. That information is also online on Story County's website. And that will be a public hearing coming up here soon. How to reach us, sign up for Notify Me is one great way to do that. Notify Me is a tool on our website that lets you know when agendas are posted. It comes via text message or email. You can find out when Story County Conservation Board is meeting, for example, or the Board of Supervisors or Planning and Zoning Commission. You can also sign up to receive notices on when bids are released, lots of different information. Of course, though, if you're on social media, you can see our happenings. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Story County, Iowa is what you look for. And the Instagram is, our name is a little bit different. It's story_county85. And then last, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Story County, Iowa. Out there, we put the weekly meetings of the Board of Supervisors in a replay format so you can go back and catch up on old meetings. You can contact me, Leanne Harter, at L Harter. That's LHARTER at storycountyiowa.gov. My phone number is 515-382-7247. And I have to do one last plug for our website, www.storycountyiowa.gov. And just a reminder, as I started the segment, Story County offices and buildings are closed today in observance of Veterans Day. And again, Paul and Susan, I get to talk to you a lot, Susan, but Paul, it's good to talk to you and hear your voice again. And thank you for having me on.
Oh, great to hear your voice. Yeah, great to hear your voice, Leanne, and I always love to hear from you, except when it's time for you to remind us our taxes are due. Oh.
You know what? It's hard to believe. I'm going to start saying that here soon. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
2020 has flown by. Wow.
Yeah.
Painfully, but it's flown by.
That's why I think maybe the right thing to do is start a painful marathon to kick off 2021. Just do it. We've been through so much in 2020. Just put your body through something else.
I'm gonna run 26 miles around my farm. Okay, not in one day though.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the goal. You have 3 months. You can do it. And it, what a wonderful accomplishment.
Good enough, Leanne, thank you.
Have a great week.
In case you just tuned in, Paul Wilson is back with us today to interview Leanne Harter with the Story County Report, a report full of Veterans Day events. Yesterday's local talk also had a preview of the ceremony planned by the Ames Patriotic Council, which you can see live streamed at 11 o'clock, the exact time of the original armistice. On Armistice Day, the 11th hour of the 11th month, 1918. To join the Ames Veterans Day virtual program with an address by Colonel Mike One, just go to the AmesPatrioticCouncil.org.
World War One. Wow, that's just over 100 years ago. We certainly don't have any veterans from that war.
No, but Paul has some great family stories about it. But before you get started, Paul, we need to take a minute to remind our listeners that this is the time of our membership drive. We are here talking to you because we love our community and we want to share its riches and the riches we're discovering every week with you. Paul's stories are an example of that. When KHOI was getting ready to go on the air in 2012, Ursula sent me on an assignment to interview the mayors of all the towns in our listening area. I didn't know what to do because I had no idea what to ask them. But Paul was also a new volunteer. We were all new volunteers at the time. He said he could do the interviews, but didn't know how to use the recorder. So I set out as his assistant. He knew something to get each mayor started. And by the time we talked to six or eight, I had discovered that each town had a character and things that it was proud of. I had lived in Ames for almost 50 years, but I was just starting to learn about interesting people, places, and events in central Iowa, just like our slogan for Local Talk. And I think we are able to share our discoveries with our listening audience. But only if we have a studio, a tower, and electricity to share this delight. And we need our listeners to chip in to help us pay for the rent on the studio and the tower and the electricity to share this delight.
So that's why we're asking you to join us by becoming a member. A basic membership is just $60 a year or $5 a month. a household membership of $100 per year or $250 per year. That's just $21 a month. Just call 515-292-2878 and a friendly volunteer will make out a pledge sheet for you. Or you can go to our website and press the yellow Become a Member button. Okay, I know we need to pitch, but let's get ready for Paul's story. Was it your grandfather who settled in Story City when he celebrated the armistice?
Well, yeah, it was November 1918. My mother was 12 years old, and she was going to school, and all the kids were going the other way. They said, Celia, no school today. The war is over. And there was going to be a big party up in the square, and everybody gathered up there, because it was Armistice Day. World War One was over. It was a big time to celebrate. They had Kaiser's coffin there, you know, all the symbols of our victory. And my grandfather was a very big businessman in the area. He owned four farms, and he was a person who worked with all the local business people. And he was kind of brash and very visible in the community. And he and his friends are the ones who started the tradition of the big Christmas tree in the square in Story City, which, well, that was 1913 when they did that, and we still have that tree every year up to now. Well, that night, that day, he had promised everybody, well, he had this huge mustache, a big, it was his trademark, it was sort of a walrus type mustache, and he said that if we beat the Kaiser, he would shave the mustache off in front of everybody in the public square. And so, true to his word, he sat in the straight back chair while the town barber shaved off his mustache. It was another night and day, actually, when my grandfather, Oscar Henderson, put on the big show. And everybody was happy because World War One was over. We had several young men in the Army, including my uncle, his son, Burton, who served as an ambulance driver. So everybody was committed to the war, and everyone committed to the peace, and very glad that the war was over. It was called the Great War, or the war to end all wars, and we know that wasn't accomplished. And certainly on that day, everyone felt wonderful.
It wasn't the war to end all wars, unfortunately. That's why we still have Veterans Day. We still have a lot of veterans. All the veterans from War One are gone.
We had, growing up, of course, we were surrounded by World War II vets. Now most of them are gone. And Vietnam vets, who are my era. And now we have veterans from the wars in the Middle East. So there's always more to commemorate, more to honor, and more to take to mind when we have Armistice Day every year.
Well, because this is Native American Heritage Month, I thought I'd find out how the Meskwaki settlement is celebrating with their veterans, because I know that for the Native American tribes, that their soldiers are very important to them. So I called over to Tama, and I was lucky to meet Emily Chima. I'll just ask her to introduce herself and tell what they're doing in South Tama today.
Oh, my name is Emily Chima. I am the student council advisor at South Tama County High School. Every year, the student council and the National Honor Society group run by Dan Lopez and Marlis Yupa, we coordinate together to create our Veterans Day program for the South Tama High School. Every year, we put on a program also featuring our high school band, some years our middle school band, and our high school choir, and some years our middle school choir. So we try to showcase to our students and at the same time honor our veterans from Tama County. So this year has been different. We're trying something different because of the COVID pandemic. So it's been a challenge, but it's been one that I think our students are doing a great job organizing, and our staff has done an excellent job of like trying to think outside the box to create something that still shows our Team McConnell veterans how much we appreciate them. And we have our school split into A cohort and B cohort. And so we're seeing half of our students at the beginning of the week, the other half, the second half of the week. This week we've moved to full-time masks, but previously we've been able to have masks on. And then if we were 6 feet apart and not over 10 students in our classroom, we could take them off. So we're doing whatever we need to do to make sure that we can keep our students and staff safe.
And how is the Meskwaki settlements? Do you have some problems with COVID?
Well, I know that the Tribal Council has been working very hard to make sure that everyone is being as safe as possible. So they put in their mask mandate and did things that I wish the rest of the state had done right away. So they were pretty strict with their shutdown. And I know that that helped out a lot of people when we first started everything. I can't speak to what their school is doing and what they're planning, but I know that they're doing the best they can because the Tribal Council has been very, very strict with their rules and making sure that people are safe.
Well, that's really wonderful because I know that on some reservations, not settlements, that it's been a serious problem.
Yes, and that comes down to resources and what people can get and how they've been, what they have access to. So, but the settlement, the Meskwaki tribe has done an incredible job at making sure that they are communicating with everyone in the county and everyone that they are taking care of. So I think that they have done a tremendous job in making sure that, that they are doing everything that they possibly can for people.
So now, how does this differ from a usual Veterans Day celebration?
So our usual Veterans Day celebration is we take time out of the school day. We do a breakfast for all the veterans in Tama County and invite them. And they come to the school for a breakfast and coffee. Students will sit down and have conversations with them. Our NHS students give them flowers when they come in the door, greet them, have them sit down, make sure that everybody gets what they need to. And then we start our program, which is put on the by the student council. We bring our middle school students together, our high school students together, and members of the community. We usually have a community speaker who will speak to our students about everything that, or whatever topic they choose to. The last couple years, we've done a lesson from the Medal of Honor Society and shown a video and had some interactive things with our crowd. And then we've had the band from either the middle school or the high school play. We've had the middle school or high school choir sing. It's been a lot of fun, and very, very great for our kids to get a chance to recognize the veterans of our community. So that's what we normally do. This year is different. We are doing a reverse parade for veterans this year. It will start at our elementary school at 9 o'clock with a flag raising and our high school band members playing the Star Spangled Banner. From there, the veterans will stay in their cars because we want to make sure that we are keeping people safe, and they will drive up with our, basically it's a service road, but it connects our high school and our elementary. They will drive up. We're going to have our students from the high school and elementary spread out, social distance with masks on, with flags and signs, waving our veterans on, saying thank you to them. And then when they finish the parade route, they will get a breakfast and coffee served to them. But that's a to-go breakfast and coffee, so we're just trying to keep people as absolutely safe as possible, but still recognizing our veterans.
Well, one of the things that you may be able to share with me is what wars have these veterans fought in? I imagine that's one of the things that they talk to the students about, isn't it?
Yes. So we have a lot of Tama County and Meskwaki veterans who have served in World War II, Vietnam, and then Korean War, and then our recent wars, Afghanistan and the Gulf Wars. So we have veterans from every war in our community. The very, very interesting part is we have the Meskwaki Code Talkers.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So they have, out at the casino, they have a really great memorial set up for them with pictures and I believe there are stories with it, but I won't necessarily speak to that. But in years past, we've tried to do some interaction with that. We haven't done as good as I think we can do. But the Meskwaki school also does a big tribute to the Meskwaki men and women who have served in the armed forces too. So that might be a group that you want to reach out to give more detail on what they do, because I know theirs is unique as well. But as far as ours, we try to recognize veterans from all of the wars, all foreign wars.
About the Meskwaki code talkers, do you teach Meskwaki language?
We do not at the high school. We do not have someone who speaks fluent Meskwaki here, but I know that at the settlement school, that is part of their culture class, I believe. I am not 100% sure, so I don't want to speak and misspeak about what they can do, what they do, but I know that this is something that is offered or something that they have pushed for at the Meskwaki High School, okay. which is located on the settlement. They have specific classes about culture there.
Do you have any people who were code talkers in your settlement still?
I could not tell you for sure and certain. I know that if there was someone you were looking to talk to who is an expert, Jonathan Buffalo would be someone to reach out to who could tell you everything back and forth and give you nonstop brilliant lectures on that. But okay. I could not tell you off the top of my head.
Okay, well, thank you.
He is a precious resource of historical knowledge. So I would try. I would keep trying him.
Now, I've heard of the code talkers, but I never realized they were Meskwaki. But there were different tribes, right, that were able to do code talking?
Yes, yes. I believe the Navajo tribe is the one that is probably most known in U.S. history, but there are a variety of tribes that have participated and helped out with different things. COVID has offered us an immense amount of challenges, but we still want to celebrate the people who have made a difference in our lives. So we're trying the best we can and making sure that we're keeping people safe and still honoring them. And again, what I would say is, as far as everything goes with the settlement, getting a hold of Jonathan Buffalo and speaking to people who are from there would be the best thing that many people can do. There's such a rich history, and I think lots of people overlook that in Iowa. So I think go to the source with that information.
Well, thank you very much.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and Gina McAndrews, Paul Wilson, and I, Susan Franzen, have been exploring the celebration of Veterans Day. We just heard about the activities in the South Tama High School from Emily Chima. This is also in acknowledgement and recognition of the Native American Heritage Month in November. And talking to her, I learned about the Meskwaki Code Talkers. Because of COVID-19, the Meskwaki Cultural Center and Museum is closed to the public, and I wasn't able to get in touch with Jonathan Buffalo, the elder we at KHOI have spoken with several times in the past. Fortunately, I did find a little story about the Code Talkers online, so I can add a little more to what Emily told me. Many Native Americans served in World War II, including a few who were called upon for their language skills. Their spoken native languages were inscrutable to the Germans and Italians. Among these Native American code talkers were 8 men from the Meskwaki Second Fox tribe in Tama County, Iowa. The 8 Meskwaki code talkers, we honor them by saying their names, were Edward Benson, Dewey Roberts, Frank Sinache, Willard Sinache, Melvin Twin, Judy Wayne Wabunsee, Mike Wayne Wabunsee, and Dewey Young Bear. The last of the 8 died in 2004. In 2013, they were posthumously awarded the Congressional Gold Medal.
Susan, I have a little tidbit. The Native American population served in greater numbers per capita than any other minority ethnic group in America. And that's really notable considering how the U.S. Army treated them in the 19th century. So we have to take our hats off to Native Americans who volunteered in great numbers and are to be honored as they are at Meskwaki for their service, their sacrifice.
Well, thank you, Paul. I discovered this as I went along. At first, I was surprised, but I think that they've recognized this is our country now, and we fight to defend our country.
That was great music, Mike. Is there a reason why we're listening to that after our visit to Tama?
Yes, there is. This is KHOI Community Radio in Story City, Ames, and we are focusing on something to celebrate in Story City. And we have Colleen Taylor, librarian of the Bertha Bartlett Community Library, to announce it. Colleen, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Susan. It's nice to be here.
So, what is special at the Bertha Bartlett Library?
Well, I'm assuming the music we're listening to, or that was you were just listening to, was the playing of a very special piano by Fran Kinney. Dr. Francis Bartlett Kinney passed away this past May and gifted to the library her beloved Steinway piano, which would just arrived in the library last week. So that was one part of her life that I was aware of, that a personal joy to her every day, especially when COVID started. She said she found herself playing the piano more. So to learn that she wanted the piano to spend the rest of its days at the library was a very, very special gift. And so when it arrived last week, we were excited to set it back up, give it time to rest, and feel like we've got a little bit of Fran with us right now.
Well, that's an amazing thing to have in your library. What do you plan to do with it?
Well, obviously with COVID, we are limited. So at the point that we found out we were getting that, my dream was that we would have at least a once a month concert series of some sort from, we have some exceptional pianists in our community. Obviously there's many in the entire Story County area, surrounding areas. So it was an opportunity to schedule some of those extremely talented people to come in and play the piano. Because of COVID, we don't dare do any kind of formal program. So at this point, what we plan to do is just occasionally just sit down, and a number of us on the staff can play the piano. If people come in and they talk to me about it, if they've had some lessons, it's an extremely precious piano. It has a musical instrument. It's been very well cared for, but it was built in 1955 in Hamburg, Germany, when Fran was living there. And so it's a very unique piece. She cared for it very, very well. There was a few little damage marks just from the wear and tear it probably took from traveling around the world following Fran for all those years. But it's an extremely beautiful piece. I've had some piano lessons over the years. I sat down immediately when they said I could and tested it and was stunned at how well in tune it still is. Even after traveling, but that's one of the things that we have to be conscious of, is to care for it and to make our patrons learn to love it, to respect it, to know that it's part of our community. It's a gift from Fran, and she wanted it to be here.
Colleen, Paul here. I'm joining you by phone today, and I have to, full disclosure, I'm on the foundation board at the Bertha Bartlett Library, and it was my information that the piano was made especially for Fran, even considering her touch. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And she, in her book, she mentioned that she went in, and her husband, Harry Kinney, lived next door to the Steinway family when they lived in the New Jersey area. And so he was good friends with the Steinways of the United States, but they had a plant also in Germany. So when they got sent to Germany as part of their military, I guess that's an assignment, they were sent to Hamburg. Then one of the things they arranged was for her to pick it out, choose the wood, sit down, and they measured her fingering pattern, how light her touch was, and designed it specifically for her. In doing some research on this, it's a full grand, but it's not a 9-foot grand. It's a 6-foot 2-inch grand piano, and it has some unusual history to it. And I, as I opened it up and looked at it, it looks like it's a brand new instrument. And I did some research with the Steinway business that was in Urbandale. I went down there and talked with them a little bit about the care of it. It's been in Jacksonville, Florida for a very, very long time, which is an extremely humid climate. And obviously, Iowa right now is transitioning into a very dry climate. So we will be talking with some technicians to make sure that we have things set up properly so it doesn't get too dry or too humid at the same time. It's kind of funny. Our church has a grand piano and you have to water it. And I find that I'm sure that's what we'll end up having to do here too. It has to have a special humidifier for it. So some things are not in place yet. That's one of them. It sounds like they had to have a heater for it when it was in the Jacksonville because of the high humidity. So you have to get it to a temperate level and keep it there.
Boy, it's a complicated life. I hope we can get all those things accomplished so that the piano has a long life. It dates from 1955, and as Fran said, it will spend the rest of its day with us at Story City. That's really nice to think about, you know, Colleen.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of is fitting today's Veterans Day, and both of her husbands were in the military. They're both generals in the military, and it's because of this that got this piano. It's an amazing kind of tribute that she did herself, and to be able to talk about it today and realize that this, you know, this helped entertain people that were serving the military back in the 50s and 60s. Their friends obviously were all a lot of military people, so there's a lot of connections to that. And Fran herself, you know, she was considered she was a hostess in the military, and her husband, he was an aide to General MacArthur. So her associations over the years run deep into entertaining, into making people feel better about the situation they're in. And this just seems to represent all of that.
So, of course, that's prior to her career as an educator and president of Jacksonville University and all the things she accomplished on her own. So,
right.
Fran was really she was sort of a universal person and knew so many people that were famous, saw a celebrity, Jack Benny and Bob Hope. And she invited many people to the university and brought them in for various programs and activities, and I'm sure she developed a great contributor base for the university too. But in all that, and what I love about Fran is that she never forgot her origins. She always remained very involved in Story City, and I know that she spread tales of Story City all around Florida. People would say, well, Fran told me that there are more people in Florida that know more about Story City than any other town in America.
I don't think your scope stopped at Florida, Paul. I think it went all over the world. I don't think she ever
She was an emissary for Story City, and look at all she's given in monetary donations and support, and we're going to miss her because she came back annually, and we all enjoyed her company. And Fran had that unique ability to make you feel like you were the only person in the room, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll be hearing little bits of Fran every once in a while. The tickling of the ivories will be occurring at the library periodically. Mm-hmm. I wish Christmas could be the way we normally do it, with singing around the piano. We've had an electric piano for years, and we've always done a holiday event where we're singing Christmas carols. I had hoped that we could do that this year. It's not looking real promising right now, but that doesn't mean that informally we can't share the love that she left for us and to celebrate her gift, her joy, and also the joy of the seasons that we're entering into right now. So music is still very important, and it can lift your spirit in many different ways.
Thank you, Colleen. That's really the theme for right now for KHOI. Is let's lift people's spirits. And this is a very heartwarming story. So thanks very much for being here to tell us about it. That piece that we played at the beginning is from the CD that you gave us. that has that was recorded with Fran playing that piano. So we can play those every so often on KHLI. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
I think we have a few minutes to talk about what we are doing right now in connection with the Fun Drive.
Having some Pintorium sessions this year, concerts this year, as part of the From the Heart Fun Drive.
Yes. We heard quite a bit of detail about that yesterday from Pat Schlarbaum, who I think is involved in setting them up. But we ought to remind people when they are and where they are. It's pretty exciting. They're at C.Y. Stevens this time. We can't have them in our lobby where we usually do because it's too crowded. So we're going to have them on the stage. That when I say on the stage, I mean the audience is on the stage too. And so there is a limit to the people who could come. I think it's 30. And since this is our fun drive, we can even mention that the tickets are $31. Part of this is to help defray the expenses at Stevens. They are very generously allowing us to have our Pantorium sessions right there on the stage. And you can go to center.iac.edu/KHOI to find how you can get tickets. But if you can't get tickets or you are sheltering in place and can't go out, there are other ways you can listen to the concerts. There's a video stream. You can watch and listen to the concerts via live stream at no cost by visiting khoifm.org 30 minutes before the performance, where you'll find the link. Or, as always, on the radio. The concerts will also be live on KHOI's airwaves at khoifm.org from 7 to 8 p.m. on both nights. And we have some acknowledgments to make. The Pantorium sessions are supported in part through the local option sales tax funds provided by the City of Ames through the Commission on the Arts.
Yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. We're getting to follow our mission of building community through grassroots communications with the two local bands that are going to play for us. One is familiar to our audience, Stranger Than Fiction, and a new group to the Ames audience is Prairie Lion. The performance by Prairie Lions is on Wednesday, the 18th of November, and Stranger Than Fiction, I think, is on the 21st. And that will fulfill our goal of highlighting the wide variety of music in our area, while also building the future with new voices.
Yeah, that's something that's very special about KHOI. As more media, including radio and television, are consolidating and having more standardization, sharing more of their hosts and their programming. We have sort of the best of both. Through Pacifica Radio, we can get a huge variety of nationally syndicated programs. But we still have about 40% of our shows locally produced. The variety is really unbelievable. And if you want to sample it and see what kind of programs we have, you can go to our website and go to the black microphone symbol that says Live Streaming and Web Archive. There is then a multicolored list of all the programs on KHOI 24/7. The nationally syndicated shows are in dark blue, and the locally produced shows are in red. Nationally produced shows include our flagship program for Pacifica, Democracy Now!, which follows local talk 5 days a week, every day we have local talk, or in the evening just before local talk at 6 o'clock. Then there's Letters in Politics, Indigenous Music with Larry Kay, Arts Express. That's just a sample.
Yeah, it's really a great opportunity for people that are interested in radio or have some creative ideas to really participate in sharing their knowledge and information with the community and while also helping people just in the community have access to more information, that activities, and just like the piano. You know, I bet a lot of people in Ames and Nevada might not know about that piano, but if they're listening to KHOI, they sure learned about it today.
KHOI is a place where your dream can come true. We have all the individuals who have their own show, like Bob's 8-track garage sale, you know, and people who pursue their own interests and put together their own programs. And I really feel that we have such a wide variety of music on KHOI. We have everything from rap to opera. Now, most stations can't make that claim because most stations highlight one type of music, like a country and western station or a top 40 station or soft rock station, but we have all kinds of music because we have all kinds of people who want to put the music they enjoy on KHOI. And I'm particularly happy about what KHOI has done during COVID-19, because every morning at 7 o'clock we've had a lot of people from the city and from various organizations in Ames really distributing valuable information, guidance, and answering questions about how we've got to weather through this thing. And I think KHOI has really been heroic in providing that opportunity for communication. And as you said, Susan, so many radio stations are syndicated now and not very local in their content. And KHOI is really the equivalent of the old mom-and-pop radio station that used to populate the whole country. We are intensely local, as you pointed out, also national, because we have access to network programming. So we're really the best of both worlds right here at KHOI 89.1 FM. And I really believe that, as public radio does, we have to have folks who care about us and listen to us who also need to support us. It's kind of like a Netflix membership. You know, if you use KHOI frequently and enjoy our programs, then you feel sort of obligated to support us financially. And you can do that by calling us at 515-292-2878. And you can, though there are various memberships you can have. $60 a year is a basic membership, and then household is $100. And of course, master donor, these are the big leaguers. They might give us $1,000 to make sure that KHOI continues to live. And like all stations and all charities, you can donate by arranging to have donations regularly through your bank account. That's called a sustaining membership. And we really love folks like that who really feel like every month they need to do something to support us because they listen to us every day. That's only right.
You know, there are two sides to this. Unlike Netflix, you can listen to KHOI whether you put in a penny or not. I mean, right. It's on the airwaves. It's free. But it isn't free because, obviously, you know, minimally we'd have to pay our electricity plus all the capital costs we have. And we're almost all volunteers and pretty high quality volunteers. I mean, people are talking about things they've spent their lives studying or working on, their passions. And in this fun drive and in this difficult period, we've got a section called the Passion Sessions. And this is something new for us. So during the next few weeks, KHOI will be broadcasting the Passion Sessions every weekday from 2 to 4 p.m. for music therapy that opens your hearts. And of course, we hope these will give you one more reason to help us keep our station on the air. We care for you, and we ask you to consider making your membership a priority. In that spirit, we have an announcement from Story County Conservation. Gina, do you want to tell our listeners about it?
The Shirin-Yoku Forest Therapy Walk on Friday, November 20th. Participants are invited to slow down and unplug while participating in nature-based invitations. Experience the benefits of being fully present in the forest and explore all your senses during the gentle 3-hour walk, typically less than 1 mile. Shinrin-yoku forest therapy offers research-based health benefits such as stress relief, improved concentration, immune system boost, and improved mental health, all of which can sure be beneficial during this virus time. This program is for adults, and so you need to dress for the weather, wear comfortable walking shoes, and bring some water. You may also want to bring a small backpack for gloves and carrying your water and that sort of thing. There will be a campfire to warm up throughout the program. In response to the ongoing development of COVID-19, Story County Conservation will adhere to social distancing, smaller group size, increased sanitation, and face coverings are mandatory when social distancing is not possible. Pre-registration is required when group size needs to be limited due to the facility or location.
I just talked with Erica Place out of Story County Conservation, and she said that probably by next week, the 18th, they will have all their registrations filled. So if you're interested in this, you should call out to the Story County Conservation as soon as possible so that that can be one of the other ways that you can relax and recharge and deal with the difficulties of this period. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Your hosts for today have been Gina McAndrews and Susan Franzen. We heard the Story County Report from Leanne Harder, followed by Emily Chima telling us about the Veterans Day celebration at the Meskwaki Settlement. And finally, Colleen Taylor introducing Francis Bartlett Kinney's Steinway, which has a new home at the Bertha Bartlett Library in Story City.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests along with relevant links to today's stories.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Liberty Bell March by John Philip Sousa, performed by the President's Own U.S. Marine Band, and a piece played by Frances Bartlett Kinney on her Steinway piano, which is now at the Bertha Bartlett Community Library in Story City. Local Talk is a program by and for the community. If you have a story you would like to hear covered, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or send us a press release at khoiradio@gmail.com. That's khoiradio@gmail.com. If you would like to become a member of the KHOI family, go to our website, khoifm.org, and hit the yellow Donate Become a Member button.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends and be sure to keep on listening. Remember, your participation as a listener, as well as your generous contributions, are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.